I'm glad to be here. Good to be here this morning. Started out really cold in Abilene this morning, but as I drove east, it got warmer, sun came out, it's beautiful outside, and it's a beautiful day to be inside here with you guys. Today, we're still in the book of James. We're going to be talking about James just for a couple of more weeks, and this lesson today, where we are in chapter 5 of James, is sort of also relevant to us in this series of James. And the question is, how long is this going to last? And so, because here we go in James chapter 5, we're going to talk about waiting, and it starts out, be patient then. So right here we are, the book of James, telling us to wait just a little bit longer. But today, I think this is just a common dilemma for human beings. I don't know, it's more people lean toward the impatient side than the patient side. And I would say if we were going to take a raise your hand and just say, I'm a patient person, or I'm an impatient person, we're more likely to go to the impatient side. So if we're all going to do this, but there's people who among us are patient, you know? There's some people, you think they are so patient. So 1, 2, 3, we're going to do this right now. Get your finger, do your finger like this, and look around the room, look around the room at the people, and you're going to point, when I say three, to the most patient person in the room. 1, 2, 3. Man, we're not pointing at anybody. Yeah, Shannon pointed at Jesus. Okay, good job. That's great. Come on then. Here we go. We're going to start reading the Word of God here. So James 5 begins, verse 7, be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. So the patient waiting James is talking about is the Lord coming. And I'm wanting the Lord to come today, but wait a minute. In very one real sense, he has, hasn't he? And he is here among us. But this verse starts out, be patient then until the Lord's coming. And it ends up, be patient, stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. It's going to happen. But in the meantime, there's things we wait for and there's things we want. And he uses the example of the farmer, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But I want you to think to yourself, what are you waiting on? And I'm not talking about what are you waiting on, go do something. I'm saying, what is something you're waiting to receive? I know that Mary Beth keeps Amazon and UPS and FedEx in business. And so I'm often at home in the afternoon when the packages come. But it's a daily occurrence. And, you know, sometimes if she's ordered something that's taken a while, she could... I'm hoping she's not listening to this. Sometimes might say something like, when is this going to get here? Right? When is this going to get here? When is this going to happen? When is this going to happen? And I know as a person who has dealt with young people in college, and sometimes I would think to myself, this would be the thing I'm asking, when are you going to grow up? When are you going to start making good decisions? Something like that. But lately, one of the things I've thought is, when is my energy going to return? If you've ever been feeling bad, and when am I going to feel... So what are some things? You say, what are you waiting on? What's something you may be waiting on?
Internet.
For those who didn't hear our prayer request, Sally's internet is out. And, you know, the Cowboys are playing this afternoon, so she's really hoping, but waiting on the internet to come, but like the farmer. And I don't think we have any farmers in here. Is anybody from a farmer family? You have farmers in your family? Yeah, Jeanette, I'm not surprised, Breckenridge girl. And so, you know, it's obvious. James isn't saying something that's like, oh, wow, I never thought of that before. But farmers plant, and you know what they do the next day? They run out and see if the harvest is here. No, they don't, because they know it's not going to happen overnight. And so this is the thing about just impatient farmers. Can you imagine? Come on, grow. You're not outside. Walk into the farmer's wife, and the farmer says, that corn did not come up. We've been waiting a week. What's going on? That's not the farmer. And so James is making, a really obvious example. Waiting is part of life. Waiting is part of life. And so what God's asking us to do, though, is wait patiently. And I want to say this expectantly, but the key to waiting is trusting the one that's bringing it. This is the farmer and God. He's waiting, but he's also trusting that what God promised, and that's the growth of his crop, what God promised, he's going to do. And that may not help Sally with the internet today, because honestly, maybe there's something else God wants her to do besides watch the Cowboys. I don't know. So we come to God, though, and we ask him for things. And God encourages us to ask for things, right? He wants us to bring stuff to him. And so, but I want to say this, that a prayer request is not a demand, you know? We pray for God, and then God, what's happening? Because I prayed for this last night, and it didn't happen this morning. So what's up with that? So here's one of my favorite passages about prayer is Psalm 5, verse 3. It goes like this. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. I wait expectantly. I'm expecting God to answer my prayer, but I'm going to wait for it. God's going to answer prayer, and you've heard this. God's going to answer prayer in one of several ways. He's going to say yes. He's going to say no. Or he's going to say not yet. And I think in this way also, he's also going to say, I'm going to answer this prayer, but not exactly in the way you asked it. Hey, have you ever looked back at life? And this is when you can see things about being patient. In the moment, patience is not easy. Waiting is hard. But as you look back at your life, I can remember thinking, man, I wish Christmas would come again quickly, and it's January. I'm a little guy like, that was great. When is Santa coming? It's going to be a day or two, son, you know. We have to wait. But when you look back, you see God has delivered things for us, sometimes not in the exact time we wanted, but also not in the same way. And sometimes the way he delivers, the way he answers prayers that we're waiting on him, for him to answer, don't really seem like the answer at all. But this is where we see in sometimes we see it like this. We don't recognize immediately that God was answering the prayer. And he was answering it all along. I have a friend who talks about as he grew up, there was only one time they had a Christmas tree in his house. And there was the only time that his parents were doing well enough, really, for them to have presents. And the thing he wanted, he was 8. He wanted a red bike. And so he came into the room where the Christmas tree was, and he ran to the Christmas tree, and he didn't see the red bike. Now, the red bike was there, but it was over on the side that he didn't see. And so he runs in, and he starts crying, and his dad says, "Son, why are you crying?" He says, "All I wanted was a red bike." And his dad says, "It's right here. It's been here all the time." I've had prayers like that, that God has answered, and it's been right there all the time. But sometimes it's not right there all the time. This is Paul, and you know, this is a pretty popular and well-known verse where Paul says he prayed three times. He pleaded, it says. He pleaded with the Lord. This is 2 Corinthians 12. He pleaded with the Lord to take away this thorn. And I don't know, have you got a thorn? I know, I think most of us have a thorn, or maybe two thorns, or sometimes three thorns. Depends how many kids you got. Just kidding. Just kidding. They're roses, but you know, roses are thorny also. But he pleaded three times, take this away, take this away. And in the waiting, he still hasn't taken it away. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And Paul responds, "I'll boast more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power can rest on me. So that's why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." I mean, the very thing he's asking God to take away, he says, "Okay, instead of asking you to take it away, because I know that in this weakness, you're giving me these bad things. These bad things are coming my way. But in them, I find strength." That's not the way Paul wanted that prayer to be answered when he first began to pray, first time, second time, third time. So James, back to James chapter 5. He says this, verse 10. "As an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord." Almost every prophet faced difficult times. And as they would pray, they would have to wait and wait for the answer. I want us to look at Isaiah. He then talks about Job, which is a lesson in and of itself, which we're not going to do today. But we are going to look at Isaiah chapter 40. And in Isaiah chapter 40, there's this context that the message was best heard. And, you know, there's not big controversy, but there's different opinions about when this was actually written. And was it written by Isaiah or someone who was a follower of Isaiah? But in chapter 40, verse 1, it begins, and the audience that most folks think this fits is the audience of the people who were in Babylonian captivity, and now they've been set free by Cyrus, the Persian king who's taken over, and now they're going home back to Jerusalem. But they're not prepared for Jerusalem because they have not been, they've been in Babylon for 70 years. They don't know what it is to be back in the temple. And they're walking this way. And so they're not ready for this. And so Isaiah says, first of all, comfort. Verse 1, "Comfort my people and speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim her that her hard service has been completed and her sin has been paid for and that she's received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." They're forgiven. They're going home. They've learned their lessons, but they're worried about it. What are we going to be able to even make the trip? And when we get there, what are we going to do? What's it going to be like? Because when we last left, every brick, there was not two bricks standing on each other. Nebuchadnezzar had wiped out the city. What's it going to be like? And so as they're going, they're doubting themselves and they're wondering, it's been so long, and is God going to be with us? And so they're complaining a bit. And so we get to this part here. And we start in verse 27. So God says to them, why do you complain, Jacob? Why do you say, Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord? My cause is disregarded by God. Have you ever felt your prayer wasn't heard? That you've prayed and you've prayed and you've prayed and God is just not getting it. I'm asking for one thing. Maybe it's relief or maybe it's blessing. I'm asking for one thing, but the thing that keeps showing up in my life is not the thing I'm asking for. And so they began to complain and say, God, you're not listening. You're not delivering. I'm still in the mess that I was before. I don't see a way out. I don't see it. And I'm ready. I can't stand this any longer. Why do you complain? And he says, don't you know? God replies, don't you know? Have you not heard that the Lord is the everlasting God? He's the creator of the ends of the earth, and he will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. So in this conversation you've had with God, well, you're asking him to act on your behalf. Or you're asking him to act on behalf of someone you love. Or maybe how many of you have prayed for our country in the last few months? And we're waiting. Do I see much change in that? No, unless it may be change for the worse. And so I'm asking God, help us, help us. Help me, help my family. Help my country. Help my church. And we're asking, and he says, I'm not tired of listening to you. I'm not grown weary of your request. But you don't understand, you don't see things from my point of view. That perhaps, just as I was as a child, and thinking, I wish Christmas would hurry up and get here, because, you know, it's almost January, and I'm ready for it to happen again. I see from the viewpoint of the child, often with God. God has a bigger thing. God has a different thing. God's wanting a different purpose worked out. And he's answering my prayer like he did Paul's, often in ways that, you know, don't make sense to me at the moment. Who can understand my ways? Not you. You just need to trust me. And he says this, then he gives strength to the weary and he increases the power of the weak. Is that not you sometimes? Have you been weary lately? I've been weary. And often it's because I'm doing the same thing, same thing, same thing. And the results are the same. And of course, this is what people call insanity, right? To do the same thing over and over and expect different results. But this is me. I'm being faithful. I'm giving myself to God in every way I know how. I pray to God, God, if I'm not giving myself to you in the way that you want me to, show me a different way. And I wake up the next morning and nothing's changed. Nothing's changed. And so I say again, God, if I'm not, and once again, I pray for clarity. One of the most often prayers I pray, God, give me clarity. What do you want me to do with my life? What do you want me to do with my time? How do you want me to respond to this person who's a knucklehead? And, you know, and sometimes I pray, God, how do you want me to respond to the knucklehead I'm looking at in the mirror? You know, sometimes the how long is, how long am I going to keep doing that? So I'm asking God, I'm weary. And he says, I'm going to give strength to the weary. And the strength to the weary is for what? It's not necessarily to overcome, to win the battle, but it's to stay in the battle. That I'll have strength, not be weary in doing the same, making the same prayer, and doing the same thing, and living the same life. Because God has shown me this path, and I'm in this path. I'm responding to God as he's leading me. And he says, I'm going to give you strength. I'm not going to change the path. I'm going to give you strength to keep going in the path. And then he says this, even young men stumble and fall. Well, I don't know how you are, but my mom has been a faller all of her life, you know. And I've been a faller as well. I think it's hereditary. Sometimes, one of the things about being a faller is I've learned how to fall well. You know, I rarely hurt myself when I fall. As a matter of fact, I wish I had some videos of some of my falls because they're pretty, you know, athletic and athletically amazing. But as I've gotten older, my falls have become more often and a little bit more dangerous. But what he's saying here, even young kids fall, even the young ones fall. Everyone, this is his way of saying, everyone stumbles and falls. Everyone stumbles and falls. But those who hope in the Lord, they're still going to fall, will renew their strength, and will soar like wings on eagles. Now, when it says this, those who hope in the Lord, it kind of depends on what version of the Bible you're reading here. Because some versions say something differently instead of those who hope in the Lord. What does it say? Y'all know? Yeah, we've been singing it. Yeah, wait. Because in Hebrew, the word for wait and the word for hope are the exact same word. Which makes sense, right? As that little boy who's waiting for Christmas is also hoping for it to come. What hope is waiting for something that hasn't happened yet. You're wanting something different when you hope. When you're hoping for something, you're wanting something different than what is right now. And you're waiting for it. But like in that prayer in Psalm 5, we're waiting expectantly. Hope is, I'm counting on this happening. I'm believing this is going to happen. I'm hoping in the Lord, not just a blind kind of hope that maybe it will or maybe it won't. But this is going to happen, but in the where I am right now in time, I'm waiting for it to happen. I believe it's going to happen. I know it's going to happen. It may not happen like I think, but I'm hoping in the Lord. And what I'm really hoping is not only that he's going to answer my prayer, but that he's going to be the good God he says he is. And what he gives is going to be what I need. And that's often the case with my requests. I need something different than I request. Sometimes I don't know even what's best for me. But I ask God, trusting that he'll give me the good thing I need, even if it wasn't exactly what I asked for. And sometimes, you know, growth is sometimes painful. Man, sometimes when I ask for to grow in God, sometimes that takes me in a path, down a path that's challenging. But I look back and I see God was answering my prayer. I'm a different person. I'm a better person, even though the journey was a struggle. And so it says they'll renew their strength. Again, that's my prayer. I'm weary. I need strength. And they'll soar on wings like eagles. He'll say they'll do things beyond what you had thought possible. And they'll run and not grow weary. And they'll walk and not be faint. Sometimes God answers this prayer sooner than later. And we can all think of prayers, I think, that have been answered quickly. But some of us have prayers that are still unanswered. We have not seen the answer to those prayers yet. The answer that he's given me is wait. Do you have a prayer right now that you're praying? That so far the answer is wait. I believe this more than anything, that God is with you and with us in the waiting. He's with us in the waiting. So this morning, I was sitting over by Sally and Bradley, and I got a text from a friend of mine, and I have several friends who are preachers. And we have this little group text. And one of the guys that is To me, the leader of the group said this to me this morning, 9:07. So Sally wasn't here yet, but Bradley was. And says, prayers to my brothers and their places and duties in the kingdom today. So we're praying for each other as we come preach. And he says this, guys, I'm just not feeling my priorities and responsibilities this morning. Prayers of discernment are needed. He's one of the strongest guys I know, one of the most faithful guys I know, and he says, I'm just not feeling it today. I'm just not feeling it today. Have you ever been that way on a Sunday morning? Oh, or a Monday morning? Or on a Saturday evening? I'm not feeling it today. I'm not feeling it today. He's asking for prayers. Sometimes that's how we're asking God for strength. And we're waiting for Him to deliver. But you know what? Whether you're feeling it or not, God is with you. And this is what I'm telling. His name's Steve. When I talk to Steve face to face again, I'm going to say, Steve, you know that in the moment you were asking, God was still with you. You weren't feeling it. And so many times, here's the balance. Feeling or faith? Man, if I only did what I felt like doing, my list would be pretty small. Ultimately, the path that would lead me to was probably the couch with the remote and some beverages. You know, that'd be me. If that's all I've based my decision making is my feelings or faith. God is with us in all of it, though. He's always there. And as we wait, He says, be patient. And He says, the Lord is near. So, God is with us. And my hope is in God's goodness, not my own ability to even follow. I'm a follower of Jesus. Amen. I'm a follower of Jesus. I've given my life to Jesus. But my faith is not in my following. My faith is in my God. Some of y'all know my 55-year-old cousin, Sharon, died on Monday. And Sharon was the last of five kids, and we grew up, Sally and I grew up with these cousins, and Sharon lived in her first 20 years of life, 18 years of life, she lived in a house that was full of chaos and abuse, and no one knew. Her sisters did a little bit, but not much, because her dad and her mom were really great at hiding things. And she grew up in this house of abuse and chaos, and it shaped her view of herself. And so from the time she was late teens, she battled anorexia and was in and out and in and out of rehab. And she would think she's doing pretty good. Yesterday, we went to the funeral, and there was a video, you know, and there's lots with songs and lots of pictures. And always, just this beautiful, warm smile that you'd be attracted to. If she was here today, she would love you, and you would love her. But as you looked at her body, and this happened at different times, you could see just bone, because she loved everybody in the room but herself. And we prayed, you know. And she went to rehab. She got in, she went out, she got in, she got out. And we'd think, this is over. She's doing really well. And this sometimes that could last for a year or longer. and then she wouldn't be doing very well. And so Monday, late morning, she walked out of the rehab that's in Buffalo Gap, Texas, and started walking towards Abilene. And a few hours later, her body was found in a lake just south of Abilene. And she had walked into the lake. There are several reasons that are not yet clear, or may never be clear, about why she walked into the lake. But in her life, it was always this wrestling. Will God deliver me? And we would pray, God, make a miracle happen in her heart that would overcome. And anorexia is a little more complicated than that, but I believe in a God who can do that. He can do the complicated. He didn't in this situation and choices she made and thoughts she had. But I do believe this with all my heart, that God was with her even as she walked into the water. And that when her lungs were filling with water, that after she took her last breath here, God was still with her. That God was still with her. And that for that next moment, peace. Peace. And while this is one of the most difficult funerals I ever attended, her kids are so full of hope. Joy, because their trust is in God, that even though she gave up her hope, God never gave up his. That God is with you even when you don't feel it, even when you're tired of waiting and your patience is gone, God is with you. And so this is why he says to us, be patient. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. And if you don't feel it, it doesn't mean he's not near. You can't trust your feelings. You can only trust God is going to do what he said he was going to do. And he may do it in a different way, something that doesn't look like you asked. It wasn't the gift you really asked for. But that God is in love with you. And he is answering your prayer for your own good. He is on your side. And he's doing good things for you, with you, and in you. And I hope, my hope is not in my feelings. It's my hope is not in my abilities. My hope is not in my understanding of God. I don't hope in my understanding of God. I'm going to tell you right now, there's so many things that are going on. I know I don't understand everything that he's doing with me and for me and in me. My hope is not in that. My hope is not in the Bible and my understanding of it. My hope is not in you. Even though I know you love me, my hope is just in God and his power to save me today and tomorrow and the next day. That his love is greater than any of feeling I might have of what love is about. That his love is real. And he's going to be there with me in the good things and in the hard things. And I'm waiting. But he's near, and my hope is in him. Let's sing. When Mary Beth and I walked into the church yesterday, this was the song that was playing. Lauren Daigle, Hold On to Me. When the best of me is barely breathing, when I'm not somebody I believe in, hold on to me. When I miss the light the night has stolen, When I'm slamming all the doors you've opened, hold on to me. Hold on to me. Hold on to me when it's too dark to see you, when I'm sure I've reached the end. Hold on to me when I forget I need you. When I let go, hold me again. When I don't feel like I'm worth defending, when I'm tired of all my pretending, hold on to me. When I start to break in desperation, underneath the weight of expectation, hold on to me. Hold on to me. Hold on to me when it's too dark to see you, when I'm sure I've reached the end. Hold on to me when I forget I need you, when I let go, hold me again. I could rest here in your arms forever, because I know nobody loves me better. Hold on to me. I believe in a God that's holding on to us. At our worst and at our best, he's holding on to us. And I also believe that there is a life that's going to be better than this one, and it won't be long. I believe we're going to heaven. We're going to be together there, and we'll be in joy and worship, and it's going to be good. And that moment is not far. And until then, James says, be patient. God says he's on the way. And I believe he is. So I pray that we walk out of here as people who hope. And that Peter says this, that people are going to see your hope and they're going to ask you, why do you have so much hope? Things are so bad now. Life stinks. Our nation is going to pot. The world is crazy. The pandemic is on the rise. Everything's terrible. Why do you have so much hope? It's because I know where I'm going, and God is with me all the way. He's holding on to me. And in just a minute, there's going to be this awesome reunion. Amen? So I have a lot of hope. And so do you. So let's live in a way that shows our hope that God is holding on to us. Even at our worst, God is with us, taking us home. Let's go. Well, I'll see you guys in a week or two.